Welcome to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about us two chuckleheads.
Sorry, I'm like massively brain dead today.
No, same.
It's okay.
It's No Thoughts November.
It's also not that much different than where we're usually at. It's not like we're ever firing on us 100 cylinders or whatever the fuck.
Just kidding. We are a very illustrious podcast. In fact, I went to a Régime de Flore event the other night.
Yeah, that I didn't get invited to.
Insane. Insane that you weren't invited. I don't understand how any of
they literally sent me the fragrance. I'm like, what's the big deal?
Wait, they sent you Fleur Eclair?
Oh, wait, no, they didn't. I'm lying. No. They sent me crushed flowers. Sorry.
Okay, but they sent you things that you've requested.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I've ever requested anything from them, but I was really excited about Fleur Eclair after we had briefly chatted with Jake and Matt at Stell about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to this event. I'm getting that perfume. It was really cute. It was at this apartment event space. So it was very intimate. Yeah. It felt like a house party, but there were these like really pretty Marie Antoinette looking pastries and eclairs and bonbons. And I don't know, there was a pastry artist. So I was like, okay, what is edible? What is for show? I'm eating it all. So I hope it's safe.
Yeah.
But Aaliyah, the founder of Régime de Flore, was saying, because this was actually the first time we had met officially in person. And she had said, yeah, after I had done your podcast, I got the most DMs and emails from people saying that they had heard about Régime de Flore through Smell You Later. And like, I know that's right.
I know that's right.
I know. And she said, she's like, I've done a couple of podcasts, but like by far I've gotten the most outreach from Smell You Later.
I love that. What I love most about that is I requested crushed flowers and she sent me a comp file. She doesn't give a fuck about me. She said, come to my event, but don't bring that gay.
They are a small busyness.
That event wasn't small. I saw those Instagrams.
I know.
Go leaf on those pastries.
Anyway, I'm cutting that out.
I am saying this because I did not speak in error, as I often do. But a few episodes ago, did I say this already? A few episodes ago, I said, where the fuck is Otherland? And then literally that week, they released a new candle. I think I said this already. It bears repeating. Otherland is back. They have a new coffee scent.
Is this the first candle after a long pause, or have they just been like silently churning out things? What's the deal?
No, I don't know any of the inner workings. I'm sure I could ask Abigail and she'd give me the up and down. But I'm not going to say they stopped. I'm not going to say they did anything because I don't know.
We have no idea.
Just hadn't released anything for quite a while. And they were a very seasonal brand. I'd say it.
True.
Four collections. Or releases a year. And I really genuinely looked forward to them because I love Otherland. They're back. They have a new scent called, fucking damn it, I swear to God, if anything could be usable, Reverie Roast.
Oh. A lot of Rev and Reverie lately.
A lot of those
names being put on to smells.
Interesting. So that is exciting. And I'm happy that they're back. I hope they stick around and I hope they give us more.
Did they send you the candle?
No, and I'm too afraid to ask for it because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Number one, what's going on? Number two, can I have this candle?
They've got acquired or something.
Oh, maybe they sold it. Yeah.
Some brand in the Midwest, and then they disappeared. I was like, that's not what's supposed to happen when you get acquired, but they're back. And you know I love a coffee scent. I might just fuck around and buy this.
Man, I always forget that people make brands just to sell them.
I think that's why you make a brand.
I know, but I feel like I've been duped where they're like, a small team and we do this with passion and just kidding. Now we're billionaires.
Yeah. But also no one's getting bought anymore because there are so many brands. It's peak oversaturation.
I feel like there was a recent splashy acquisition in the BB space lately. I don't know. At least in fragrance. Every time someone gets bought, I feel like things get boring.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Like Byredo. Sorry.
Exactly. I was just thinking that. I was like, should I say it? You said it. Thank you. Yeah.
I know the answer is no. Have you smelled the Byredo Mojave Ghost Intense?
No, have you?
Oh, yeah, I requested it.
Oh, yeah. Did they send it or did they give you anything? Oh.
No, they sent it. The thing about me and Mojave Ghost is that if it's one of those fragrances that everyone's, it's like the Byredo fragrance. The
Which
one
is
that everyone
weird.
Knows.
I'm like, of all of them, that one, but.
I know, but if you're going to be that fragrance out of a brand, a Santal 33 or a Mojave Ghost, or whatever the fuck. I appreciate Mojave Ghost for what it is. It's
I know, I can see, yeah. I can see why it's...
Yeah, totally. It's like, it's a nothing fragrance, but it smells like salty skin and it's just pleasant. I don't know. Yeah. So I never, anyway, I was like, you know what? I don't really care about the original, but I'd be interested in what the Intense gives. And it's that is the exact scent, really? Just stronger, which I realize is the point. But I liked it a lot. I appreciated a scent like that is a little lighter and a little bit more innocuous. I like it to wear a little bit stronger and feel a little bit more intentional. So yeah, it's, again, I'm not rushing back to it every day, but I'm sure it's going to go crazy for them. And I think it's really pleasant. It's really nice.
Do you remember when we forecasted the Intense era of perfume? What was it, 2 years ago? In one of our trend forecasting episodes?
Girl, I can't remember what we said last fucking That's week.
True. I feel like it was 2 years ago. And then Cody sent a bunch of editors and like press people all of their upcoming collections for the next year. So they just sent like comp files of like all of their fragrance releases for the next year. Everyone is getting an Intense.
Everyone's getting an Intense.
Everybody. Every bestseller of the Coty brands is getting an Intense. And because Gucci, I don't think I can say this yet, but one of them is also getting a parfum, which I think is a made up word for Intense.
You naming the brand and then saying I can't say it.
Wait, did I say the brand? I'll cut it out.
You said Gucci?
I did say Gucci. Okay, I'm cutting that out.
Anyway. We're not cutting anything out. Listen, I know we talk a lot of shit, but like, a lot of our forecasting is becoming true.
I feel like when we start to see it, in literally 2 years' time is when it will be like hitting everybody over the head with it. I don't know what that's about, but we are on it.
We may just know what we're talking about against all odds.
Against all odds, we do be knowing.
We do be knowing.
What's under nails?
Oh, it's just a baby blue tip.
Oh, cute.
Thanks.
I love the baby blue tip.
I feel like tips on guy nails is like the stupidest thing you can do because my nails are smaller than chicklets, but I just love a baby blue
tip.
No,
I love it.
On my little white boy skin. I don't know. I do this about once or twice a year.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so, fuck, we gotta respond to their follow-up. Sable is a really big fan of the brand Robert Piguet, which is, I would say, a legacy brand, don't you think?
They are a legacy brand.
Yeah,
I think so.
And so Sable loves Fracas, and they randomly reached out to us, and were basically like, do you want some shit? And I was like, yeah. And so I said, I basically love anything like sweet and spicy, which they don't, they do a lot of, but not in the way that I like. So they sent me quite a bit of things and I texted Sable and I was like, I gotta be honest with you, girl. These Robert Piguet fragrances are beating my ass. They're just, they're very traditional.
They're like, very traditional. Yeah.
I mean, when they say oud, they mean oud. When they say spice, they mean spice. And I don't dislike them. I appreciate them for what they are. They're a little classic for my taste because, you know, I'm an innovative girl.
Yeah, same, same.
But they're nice. I wasn't gagging for them, though. However, the one I'm
wearing
today...
Which ones did you get?
I don't know. What have I worn so far? I have received... They sent me all of the theories that word that we don't like.
I do love the O word.
I know. They love the O word. Shut it down. They sent me, so this is what I've worn so far. Cosba.
Okay. I have that one as well.
Thagari. I'm sure I'm butchering all of these.
Okay.
And then I think that might actually be it. I've got a few more to work my way through.
Those are like the heavy blonde ones. Yeah. As well. And I was like, okay.
I wore Automatica too, which I actually did like a lot. That's kind of what it's called.
Fracas, Fracas is probably their best known scent.
Yeah.
But my favorite Robert Piguet scent is Eau de Lys, which I feel like I've talked about for the past 5 years. I feel like they've merged the traditional cologne with, I don't know, whatever modern formulations are. And it's just like the most perfect, spicy, warm, and I don't know. It's so delicious and it's so cozy. It's like such a great winter fall scent.
Oh, no, I know you like it. I'll wear that tomorrow and get back to you.
I think you'll like that one.
For sure. No, that sounds like my alley. But what I'm wearing today, it's really resonating with me. I'm wearing Bois Noir.
Oh.
Essentially, what do they describe it as? Precious woods and the sweetness of a rich amber. It's really quite nice. It is as bold as the others in the collection, but it's a little softer. It's not coming at you
with
all the spice and all the oud. It's a little bit more rounded. I think there is a heavy dose of amber to temper everything. It's gorgeous, honestly. It smells like a sort of cinnamon wood with just a lot of amber. It wears all day. It wears
not these rubber quietly. PPA scents, you're right. They will chase you around all day.
Yeah, this one is really magnetic. And it's I would say that it's classic, but in a way that feels timeless, where the others felt classic derogatory.
Got it. Yes, I do agree with you.
This could be anything else, and I would think it was newer. The notes are agaric wood, cedar, sandalwood, patchouli, labdanum, and musk. And this came out in 2012, so not quite as old as I thought, but before we all started going crazy. And yeah, it's this guy. This is from our guy, Aurelien Guichard.
Oh my gosh, Aurelien, who we will be seeing soon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We were invited on a Matte Premier press trip. I say press, but I feel like we're going to be the only press and the rest is going to be influencers.
Yeah.
Brand trip to Greece to harvest saffron. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited too. So Sable went on this same, not same, but
yeah, I went on the tuberose harvesting trip like 2 years ago.
2 years ago, I was going to say.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago in
the south of France.
At his farm, his garden farm, his estate. I know. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know if this is, I haven't like fact checked this, but apparently he's the only perfumer who has his own farms for roses and tuberose, which is pretty cool. But not for saffron, which is why we're going to Greece.
And I love that because Crystal Saffron is Sable's
my favorite.
One of your all-timers, right? Not from that collection, just almost ever.
Ever, for sure. It's definitely one of my favorites. Ever since I learned of its existence.
Yeah, it's like me taking me up into a hot air balloon and like getting some clouds. I can't wait. This is going to be fantastic. We're going together, which is exciting.
Yes. The first smellulator.
We're recording in Greece.
We've been trying to get Aurelien Guichard on the podcast for ages, but with the time difference, it's just so hard to schedule something.
Yeah.
So I was like, I leveraged that. I was like, what if we finally get to have an interview with Aurelien in Greece since we're all going to be there at the same time?
They were like, yay. Yeah, like, you motherfuckers got to come to us.
Yeah. Say no more.
Yeah, literally. You buy the ticket, take me wherever.
Exactly. I'm so pumped for that. Also, like me trying to become a fucking sound engineer via Amazon, ordering equipment and Googling how to do it.
What time does your car come on Saturday?
Like 3:30.
Okay, same.
I was like, why don't they pick us up both up in the same car? Like, save money.
Let them.
Fine.
They're flying us across the world. They're not worried about saving money.
Yeah. Don't love the 7 a.m. fucking flight back, though.
Good luck to us. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so as I foreshadowed before, I smell like the new Régime de Flore scent, Fleur Éclair. It is their quote-unquote first gourmand, which I feel like when certain brands say, we're doing a gourmand, I'm like, no, you're not. But it is a gourmand. There are gourmand notes in it. There's cacao and sugar, cardamom. That's just me riffing from memory. But with a name like that has a Claire in it, you think that it's going to smell like a dessert.
Yeah.
But that is not necessarily what you get. But upon first spray on skin, I do get this kind of creamy cacao right off the jump.
Yeah.
And then there's something like buttery about the cacao. So it's like delicious and confusing. But then pretty soon, I feel like the journey of this is pretty fast and furious. It does last a long time, but the dry down happens, I feel like, a bit quicker than what I'm used to, which isn't a bad thing, actually, because the dry down is really nice. I feel like it's éclair and then fleur. Once it dries down, then you get like the floral accord. It just smells like a chic, fashionable woman's perfume. I couldn't quite pick out what type of floral. So what they call out is jasmine sambac, of course, orange blossom. That's it. That's the end of the flowers. And white patchouli, blonde woods, and amber. But what I was getting was like that amber floral accord. And I was like, yes, again, the girl boss scent. But there's something about, I feel like floral amber is girl bossy, maybe.
No, I hear you with that. It's just, I was so with you until you brought that up, but come on.
Oh, interesting. There's something about it that reminds me so much of Givenchy Very Irresistible.
Oh.
It's just like a hot girl scent, you know?
Okay.
It's floral, a modern floral something, but they do call out cardamom, sugar, cocoa butter, rose water, and cocoa powder. So that is, that's the gourmand part of it. But I do feel like probably from the cardamom, the pepperiness of it is what gives the floral quality that, I don't know, it's like a very buttoned up bouquet of something like very peppery floral, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, I get the amber floral, but then the pepperiness of the cardamom gives me this interesting, I'm confused because I get confused when like a scent, I can't easily pick out the notes of a scent that I'm like, oh, I can't place things. But the entire effect of it, I think, is just so pretty in a very polished way. It's a very polished gourmand. It's not like a, if you're expecting something like a decadently sweet, this is not the one. It has a hint of sweetness, but other than that, it's just this polished floral amber.
No,
it's really
yeah,
beautiful.
I think you hit the nail really on the head with that. Because when you described it as cacao, that's exactly it. Because you're right, it's not pastry. Like, it's not an eclair scent to me. You're right. It's like a floral gourmand in a way that somehow works. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that it works for me. But because I like my gourmands to be gourmand. More on that later. But it is a like a dry powdery chocolate on top of a bouquet. It's interesting.
It is interesting. It's funny. Like, I was wearing it. Like, I was wearing it today, and I'm wearing just like a jean, like jeans and a t-shirt, and I felt like underdressed for my perfume, if that makes sense. Like, this perfume, it just smells very done up to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is not your like everyday goes with anything scent. I feel like this is a scent for when you want to be noticed.
And yeah, I want to wear that again. I'm going to put that back on.
Yeah. I've been nursing my vial from Stel, my little sample vial.
Same.
Yeah. But it's interesting. And I feel like the way Aaliyah was describing it was that she, in her mind, she wanted something that was like a craveable scent and something that was delicate but balanced, not too gourmand in the expected sense of the word, but still some like the type of scent that you would crave. So I'm like, that's interesting. Yeah. I do feel like this is, of all the ones I've smelled, this is like one of the punchier scents of theirs.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Speaking of craveable gourmand scents,
we have the top of the top.
We have the buffet. And a brand that we've been fighting tooth and nail to get on this show
for 3 years.
Literally.
Yeah.
Sol de Janeiro is joining us on the show today.
Yay.
And we're very happy to have them. It's very exciting for us because they have never been bigger than they are right now.
I know. I wonder if that's why they finally agreed after years-long pestering. Like, please.
They have one of the most distinct and distinguishable or signature scents in really all of beauty right now, because they're not just fragrance. Really, they're not a fragrance brand. They're a body brand that leans heavily into fragrance. I think of them as a fragrance brand, but what do I know?
Same.
And
that's what people know them by.
Right, right.
You know the smell before you know the product.
Right, right. And thanks to all of the reasons why fragrance is bigger than ever, Sol de Janeiro has really ridden that wave to what I don't even think is their peak, quite honestly. I think they're just going to stay on the up and up. We're really excited to welcome the brand today.
Yeah.
And hear more about how they got here, where they're going.
Yes. We have Maggie Arms, their director of global product marketing, and Liza Henowitz, who is the fragrance product developer and evaluator.
So really excited to have the team on, and let's jump in.
Yeah.
I'm Maggie Arms. I'm the director of product marketing for our fragrances at Sol de Janeiro, and I've been with the brand for about 6.5 years now.
Nice.
Long time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we always start off by asking our guests, what do you smell like today?
That's a good question. I am wearing one of our new fragrances that I wish I could divulge and talk about more.
Ooh,
but I can't.
Okay.
Have to wait a little bit longer for that one, but I would say on a normal day, I'm a Shiraz 40 girl at Sol. It's one of my favorites. I use like the Bongia cream and the mist, and I like layer that with everything. So that's normally what I smell.
Nice.
And my husband now too. I have him hooked on it.
They're easy to get hooked on.
Yeah. What about you, Liza?
I'm Liza Henowitz, manager of fragrance product development at Sol de Janeiro. And so I've been with the brand for about a year now.
Okay, nice. So you are the mastermind behind all the viral scents.
Yeah, we are quite the team, product development and marketing.
And what do you smell like today? That.
I actually did a layering Sol de Janeiro combination. I'm
powerful.
A Terrosa 87 girl, but it was very warm today, so I layered 87 with Terrosa 48. So very like fruity summer inspired.
Nice.
Oh, I love
that.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Summary of you. That sounds good.
Yeah. I wonder if you, do you guys ever use code words for the scents or do you just have all the numbers memorized?
At this point, it's all the numbers memorized, yeah. Which is, it's a lot of numbers now.
Yeah.
But it's funny, we're in development. Obviously, there's different names for the different mods that we're testing. Mm-hmm. So before a fragrance is actually final, we all have kind of internal code names that we use, which is always fun.
In my brain, I always go the purple one or the yellow one.
I'm curious, I'm sorry, I'm already going off script, but from a, Sable and I have both worked in beauty for forever and have named a lot of products, but in terms of a naming convention for a product collection, especially one as big as yours, what is the approach behind keeping them all pretty consistent with the Terrosa and then the number and following? Do you find that is limiting to either your team or the consumer, or how is that for you on your end?
So all of our fragrances, the number comes from a year in Brazilian history. So all of our fragrances are inspired by a cultural event or moment that happened in Rio. So for us now, we really use those numbers to ground the storytelling. And I think the sky's the limit in terms of the Brazilian culture and all the fragrances we can create there. And it's funny because we did have conversations internally about people calling them like the yellow one, the pink one. We've actually seen our consumers now are like, really getting deep into the weeds with us on all of our fragrances. And Liza talked about layering, but we'll see someone say 40 and 62, and they're really like getting behind the numbers. So we're feeling good about them. I think there's definitely more in the future.
Yeah. You guys should do jerseys for all the different scents.
Oh my God. Right.
I love that. That's a great idea.
I can never keep them straight. I just know that they all smell good. So that's all I really need. Yeah. Whatever I'm reaching for, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to get. I'm going to like it.
What's your favorite?
The purple in my head, the 59, the purple one. That's my favorite.
I like whatever is in the body wash and body scrub. This sort of really hot orange red one. I'm obsessed with that.
Ooh,
that is my 40. What I always go back to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a night shower, so I'll use the body butter at night. So I think I just associate it with winding down and going to sleep. So to me, it's like a very comforting and very cozy scent.
I love that.
That's funny. It just makes me want to party. Like, I couldn't wear that and go to sleep. You know what I mean? I like want to go out.
Well, that's purple mode. Then there's like yellow mode and pink mode.
Something for everyone.
Yeah.
Love that.
So the brand launched back in 2015 with a scented body lotion that was, as you said, reminiscent of years in Rio and the culture and the glamness of the time. And being that it launched with that one hero scent, I'm wondering what was the thinking behind the original Boom Boom Cream scent when it was being developed?
So when our co-founders were originally briefing this in, they approached this a little bit differently. They didn't have a specific olfactive direction in mind, honestly. They were briefing in more of a feeling. And they wanted something that was really bold, something that was really delicious, and something that was ultimately super head-turning and compliment-inducing. And we were launching as a body brand, so this fragrance was developed specifically for Boom Cream. It's going to be in a body product. So they knew that they wanted this powerful head-to-toe sensorial experience, and that's like kind of what they took to the fragrance house. And they just knew, again, that they wanted this strong impression, which we definitely got.
Yes.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I remember it was right after the super gourmand era of the early aughts had died down a bit. Mm-hmm. And then it just brought it back. But I feel like people were still wanting that really decadent, heavy, smell you from a mile away gourmand. And coming out with the Boom Boom Cream was the entire customer base that was being underserved for that was just like, have our money.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that fragrance, the fragrance in Boom Boom Cream and now in so many of our products is really our icon, our signature. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think we definitely hit the nail on the head in terms of the compliment inducing piece. That's something that even when this fragrance first launched, we got so many customers writing in saying like, someone stopped me on the street and asked me on a date, or my husband won't keep his hands off me. Like, we hear all of these stories, and that's really what we love to hear and how impactful the fragrance is on someone's day. And yeah, we love it.
That's the ultimate test, the compliment test.
Right. I'm curious, so having ideated and evolved the original scent so many times with the other scents in your collection, is there a little piece of the original in each of them? Is there like a through line to your collection other than they all smell great all the time? Because I do find that they are similar in the way that you can tell that they all came from the same family, but I can't pin down one specific thing that is the same throughout all of the collection. So how do you guys approach that?
So we develop all of our fragrances. They're all rooted in Brazilian tradition called Trouxa. And Trouxa literally means smelling delicious. And that is our thread. That's like really how we connect everything.
So just really sweet, really edible.
Yeah. And I think some of our fragrances are definitely more gourmand than others. So I feel like with gourmands, like the lowest hanging fruit there, right, is like vanilla. And we know vanilla is so popular, but something that we try to do and challenge ourselves with, specifically Liza and her team, like on the technical side, is like, how can we bring that deliciousness through the fragrance, not just rely on the more traditional gourmand notes? Like, how can we make something that's mouth-watering but isn't just vanilla or like super edible? Like, what are these other ingredients that we can bring in that still get us that really mouth-watering quality but in a new and different way?
Nice. Have you figured out like an all-star team of the classic Sol de Janeiro notes or chords?
Not necessarily, no. We play with a little bit of everything. And, you know, we started with our pistachio and salted caramel, which are the notes in 62. But again, we really expanded and we really just try to play around with new ingredients that were inspired by Brazil or new types of gourmand notes and really finding the best combination to get that Cheirosa quality. That was what we call it internally.
And I'm curious, obviously, the past couple of years, vanilla is bigger than ever, but at the same time, Sol de is bigger than ever. And I don't think people think of Sol de as a vanilla brand by any means, but both of those things had their own sort of come up, but then they've met at this moment. How do you think that those two things played off of each other? Do you think that this vanilla trending so hard helped Sol de Janeiro get even bigger with consumers? Or do you think it was just a flash in the pan moment? Because you can't plan that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like a perfect combination of things that were happening at once. I do think the success of Boom Boom Cream and of 62 and Sol de Janeiro in general definitely helped this trend in terms of bringing gourmands in an elevated way back to the forefront and really popularizing mists also. We're seeing a lot of body mists come out and a lot of them very heavy on the vanilla. But yeah, I think it was, we don't necessarily follow the trends. Like I said before, when we originally briefed in the fragrance, it wasn't a vanilla fragrance we briefed in. It was like briefing in an experience and a feeling. And so I think they really helped each other and that it was happening at the same time.
You touched on body mists, and I know Sable and I have been talking about body mists.
I know, they're everywhere now.
A year straight, because they are everywhere. And noticed that Sol de is putting out quite a bit of body mists. Curious as to why mists over EDPs and why mists, not over body, because we know that you're, you know, in the body category too, but why invest so much in mists as a brand? Do you find that consumers are more interested in them? Are they more fun? Are they a little bit younger? And genuinely, we're just curious. Please give us the taste.
I can start by giving a little history on the mist.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So again, when we launched Boom Boom, like our fragrance first launched in a body cream, and the fragrance became so beloved so quickly. People started asking, like, come out with this in a perfume. And we could have easily put this fragrance right away in an EDP format and launched it. But honestly, that just didn't really feel right for the brand at the time. We always say, like, our products at Sol are generous in size and spirit. And we really wanted the experience to be something that you can spray head to toe and really douse yourself in this fragrance. And the dainty perfume didn't really feel right for us at the time. So we ultimately decided to launch a mist based on that. But it was a really intentional decision between the EDP and the mist.
Because there is an EDP as well, right? Or there was.
Yeah.
I remember having one.
We did a follow-up with the EDP a few years later. Again, customers keep asking for it. That's our crown, what we call our crown jewel of Cheirosa 62. If you are a diehard fan, that is the product for you. Again, just more concentrated format. But yeah, we've really seen our mists take off, I think, because of how easy the format is and can bring it with you everywhere. You can layer it. There's almost more possibilities.
Yeah, I guess that also makes sense. I guess when your whole thing is edible gourmands, people really want to indulge. They don't want to do a very conservative, like one or two spritzes. They just want to like all over.
It's a little more fun too. You can bring it with you everywhere. You don't have to worry about smashing the bottle. And say, well, like you said, you can, if you get bored of it, you can just put more on. And I know that we are reappliers in this house. So I guess I see how a mist could be a little bit more compelling than an EDP. Do you, without giving anything away, would you ever consider doing more EDPs?
Never say never, but I think right now we're really focused on our mists. It's become some of our most popular products at the brand, and they're so beloved that we really are going to continue to lead the charge in that category.
That's exciting.
A mist brand. We love it.
We're curious because you are such a well-loved brand. How do you develop and test your scents, not from a regulatory perspective, but just with your consumers? Do you focus group new scents if you are trying to pick one over the other or you're unsure, even internally as a company? So what are some of the factors that decide what gets released or maybe what gets taken back to the lab and developed even more?
We do third-party testing at Soul, but we also really look at a lot of verbal language. So we really want to see what the people are saying, and we really take feedback on that. So like, where are they being transported to? What emotions are they feeling? Really the essence of what they're experiencing. So we really look into that when you do third-party testing.
Wow.
That's interesting.
You obviously, you take that pretty seriously. Is there any feedback that was either really surprising to you as a team or feedback that made you rethink something and go back and do another round? Are you ever surprised by what consumers think?
Yeah, I would say sometimes, and at this point, I don't know if it like surprises us as much anymore, but when we're doing this testing, really keeping an eye on what tests quote unquote the best is maybe not necessarily the best fragrance for Sol de Janeiro to launch because we actually really love fragrances that have a polarizing element. So going off of what Liza said before, like digging into the qualitative feedback to see how people are describing the fragrances, like we're looking for that passion that people have behind them. Like we want to see someone write in saying, this is my new favorite fragrance. I'm going to wear this every day. If all we're hearing back from everyone is like, oh yeah, this is nice. I would wear this. We're like, okay, that's actually doesn't meet our Soul standard. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to like the Shiroza and the compliment inducing, like we want these to have an impact on you immediately and really change your mood and change your day for the better. So I think that's something that we're still learning as we go through these testing is like getting everybody on board when we're reviewing the results and making sure that we're keeping that Soul factor always in mind.
That's so interesting to hear because I feel like a lot of brands now, especially once they've entered Sephora, once they've reached a certain level, they become quite risk averse. And they think the next stage of growth is that they need to expand their customer base. So they need to appeal to everybody, which means that they do make something that people are like, yeah, it's nice. I would wear this. But sticking to the prompt that it either has to drive people crazy with passion or just be like, this is not for me at all. That's really cool. I think that you guys, that's your tenet. That's your gold standard.
There's been a lot of talk about, and I hate talking about it, but I did write this question about teens in Sephora and even younger humans running around Sephora with their parents' credit card. And Sol de Janeiro has been a part of that conversation, as has Drunk Elephant, as has Rare Beauty. Mm-hmm. But I think there's just something about it being so loved by so many generations. What do you think makes Sol de Janeiro's scents resonate with sort of every age demographic you could possibly that could walk into Sephora?
Yeah, I think part of it is that kind of going off of what we said before, our fragrances aren't just scents that smell good, right? They're highly sensorial experiences. And when people use our fragrances, they're super transportive. They're taking you to a new place or to a different mindset. Like you said before, calming you down before bed. They're really giving you these emotions and evoking a reaction. And I think that's really what resonates with the all ages and audiences that we're seeing getting behind our mists.
I think in addition, we also really pride ourselves on making like really intricate, very prestige developed fragrance mists. And so someone who's younger might see that and be just so addicted to the smell and just really love the compliment inducing quality. But then someone older might see all the different fragrance notes and how transportive they are and how elevated it is. So we definitely capture everyone across the board that way too.
I guess that sort of plays into our next question. I know that every brand has their own metrics of who the hell their customer is, but how do you develop something for everyone? Because it really does seem like you're one of the few brands that we've talked to that maybe not every single person loves it, but you could be 8 years old to 80 and still be a huge devotee of the brand. How do you develop something that resonates with sort of everyone? It is very rare that you see that in the beauty or fragrance space. Or do you feel like boxed in by that? Does it scare you?
No, it definitely doesn't scare us. I think it really goes back to that transportive quality that we just keep talking about and what we really develop in a way that when we're looking for fragrance inspiration, we're looking at these iconic years. So we're like, how do we embody these iconic years in Brazilian history and bring that to our consumer? And we bring some nostalgia, we bring different essences of the era, and people just find it very relatable in that way.
When you talk about the years, can you expand a little bit more into that? I would love to know what about those years makes you say, okay, it is 76, or it is, what about them attracts the brand?
So with every new fragrance brief, and Liza and I work really closely on all of the fragrance development here, and what we, as like the marketing team, try to give to Liza, the product development team, as the guardrails, let's say, or the brief, is really mostly like attributes. So again, we're not briefing in specific fragrance notes necessarily. Like, of course, there are some that we keep in mind here and there with different projects, but it's really about how we want the fragrance to make you feel. So how that relates to the years is that each year or each era of our fragrance has a specific story that's a specific mood. So we're really using like that mood, that feeling, that experience, where it's going to take you. Our latest launch is a 76, that just launched in August, is the perfect example. So that year is 1976, which is when one of the famous discotheques opened in Rio. And so that fragrance is all about the nighttime going out, but it's a little bit retro, but it makes you want to party. And so there's a lot of different facets there. And that's like what we work with both Liza and the fragrance houses of really describing a mood, a feeling, and then going from there.
How long does it take you to develop from brief to market? How long does it take a scent to get released?
A long time. It depends on the project.
We'll take as much time as we can, but we will develop something great in a short time if we need.
Yeah, probably the shortest, I don't know, I think the shortest we've done it is like a year, but most likely it's, most of the time it's 2 years.
I feel like 2 years is the average time it takes to get a scent from idea to finished product. Now that I know that they're years, I was like, oh, this makes so much sense now.
I'm always curious because I think Sable and I have both worked at brands who have done this successfully and also not. When you have such a long timeline, how do you develop something that you know or think is going to hit 2 years later, especially in this era of TikTok microtrends that we're all seeing where things are so ephemeral? What from the brief to usually 2 years later, are you confident in hitting with the consumer that maybe hasn't even stepped into a Sephora yet?
Yeah, I think it's the perfect balance of being aware of the trends, but not following them directly. So again, I think it really goes back to like how closely we work, the marketing team, product development team work together in terms of bringing these fragrances to life. We're not chasing the latest ingredient trend, right? We're not saying, oh, this ingredient is very popular with Gen Z right now, so we're going to make a fragrance like that. We're really following what we know are long-term trends and what we know our customer loves about our fragrances. And that is really our Bible for making sure the scents that we're creating are hitting that soul standard and that people are going to love them.
That's something that coming from beauty, those timelines, many things can change and then change again in 2 years. So I don't envy you, but you've clearly got it down to science. So
it's interesting how Sol de started with a body cream that became so beloved because of its scent. And now it feels like now you're not a scent brand, sounds too general, but this brand that just comes out with these scents that are just so, I hate the word viral, but I do feel like every Sol de drop just dominates my TikTok For You page. Every time.
People are waiting for them.
Yeah. And I sort of know what I'm going to get with a new Sol de Janeiro mist. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, they did a little twist with this, or there's a different mood or a different occasion to wear this Do you guys think that you're going to stay steady on the scent train, or do you think you're going to go back to, maybe not back to, but release more body-centric products?
Yeah, I think you're totally right. We've become so beloved for our scents. We are still primarily a body care brand. Like, scents is almost secondary, which, like, when you look at Boom Boom Cream, there is such a strong efficacy story there. And the scent has just helped this product take off and become very cult-worthy as well. It's like the two things going together. So I think, yeah, we're definitely, Liza and myself on the fragrance team, like, we're going to keep it going, definitely. But our body team is also working hard. We have some really fun things in the pipeline there as well.
Nice. Ooh,
not a tease. Sable and I have talked a lot about people's perception of fragrance in skin and body care. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, God, Sable, how long have we been doing this? Like the show, like 5 years, 4 years? Almost. I feel like when we started the show, it was this big conversation about how fragrance and skincare is bad and fragrance and body care is bad, which we know is not true always. But now with post-COVID and since the brand has really blown up, I feel like that conversation is happening less and less. Do you find that there is still a consumer that is a little hesitant to use such heavily scented body products? And how do you speak to that? Or do you think that those are just two different consumers? Because both Sable and I love a scented body product, as you can probably imagine. Mm-hmm.
There can be a crossover, and sometimes they're different consumers. I think it's really each consumer is their own, very individual. Mm-hmm. But when we're developing, like, safety is a non-negotiable. Safety and enjoyment for Sol de Janeiro, they really go together for us. So we rigorously test all of our fragranced body care, all of our perfume mists. We do repeat patch testing for all of our skin safety, make sure it's super safe for all skin types. And we also specifically make sure we're using safe synthetics, which also help reduce skin irritants and also help push our sustainability goals internally. So for us, we want to be delicious and safe at the same time so everyone can use it.
That's smart. Ideal. Smart. Yeah.
Yeah. That brings up a point that we all, speaking of demonizing things in scent, we know that there is a whole lot of talk about synthetics and how they're harmful or worse. But I think I'm speaking for both of us when I say that Sable and I realize that synthetics are often can be safer, definitely better for the environment.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And there's a lot of benefits to using something that uses or is fully synthetic. And is that a conversation that you find yourself having to negotiate and educate around as you market as well?
I think that the consumer is taking on to these concepts quicker than we think. I think maybe 10 years ago they didn't know, but now I think that they're way more familiar. And it also is really great for fragrance development because we can create these, like, amazing fragrances.
Yeah.
Super sensitive on the skin, really any users can use them.
That's exciting.
Nice.
I think synthetics are more fun. I'm tired of smelling like roses. I want to smell like something crazy.
They're more stable for sure.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, you can make very, like, fun fantasy notes with them. Like, sky's the
I can't wait till you guys get into the 80s era or the 90s. Chirosa 92.
Can you imagine? No.
Yeah.
Did you, on a personal note, did you both always know you want to work in fragrance, or was it sort of happenstance?
For me, it was happenstance. So I actually started my career at Bath & Body Works and was there for a few years and fell into that opportunity, to be honest, and then came to Sol after that. So once I kind of worked at BBW for a little bit, I really enjoyed, like, both the product development side in terms of it's, like, really satisfying to work on something and then a year or 2 years or however long later, you actually get to hold the product in your hand and say, wow, all that work I did, like, actually culminated to a physical object. That was really satisfying for me. So I knew I wanted to stay within this beauty realm. And I really did love working on fragrance. And come on, it's so fun to work on fragrance at Sol de Janeiro. It's definitely has kept me very interested and excited about this role since I've been here.
Yeah, and I have always been a huge science nerd. And I thought, I was like, how do I be a scientist and work in beauty? Because I also love beauty. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm going to be a formulator. I'm going to make formulas and body care and skincare. Had no idea about fragrance. I happened to get an internship at a fragrance house. the summer before I was going into grad school doing like preclinical drug development, totally different than I do now.
Wow.
And I went to this fragrance house, had no idea anything about the industry. They like opened up my eyes. I was completely hooked to the industry. I was just so amazed how they can like, Maggie was saying, you can just change an energy, you can change a vibe. You have so much impact on everyone's day and you really brighten everyone's day. And you get to work on body, hair, like mist. I was like, this is what I will do.
I know. I feel like I don't think I was aware of the inner workings of the fragrance industry until I was like probably in my mid to late 20s. And I was like, wait, this is a job that you can have? What? I've done everything wrong.
No one fucking told us. Yeah. Like, you know, I would have done something completely differently, but now I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah. Have you guys ever clocked a Sol de Janeiro scent in the wild, like out in public? And that's something?
Yeah. All the time. I feel like I smell it on people. I'm in Brooklyn, so in the New York area, mm-hmm. I feel like I smell it on people on the subway, out of like a restaurant. Yeah, or I see people put out their purse. I love it. Yeah.
That must be so cool.
It is like a little boost when you're getting someone's scent trail of 62 mm-hmm. coming off the subway.
Yeah. I was in my office last week, and there weren't that many of us there. And I was like, what is that smell? It smells so good. And one of my coworkers was like, I'm wearing Sol de Janeiro. That's right.
Like a very temporary roommate who is, she was from Russia. She was like an art student. And she was a little bit of an odd duck that she would just stay in her room with the door shut, blasting Friends and laughing hysterically. And there was always a plume of this just like marshmallowy, sweet, caramelly smell around her. And then when she moved out, she left a couple items in the room, and in it was an empty bottle of Chirizza 62. So now whenever I smell it, I think of her.
It's a scent memory.
Right, we're going to need to send you some more 62 so you can make new positive memories.
Oh my God, I have a Magnum. I got your package this morning and it was like really heavy. I was like, what is this? And then I open it and there's like these big gulps of all.
There's all, everything. Thank you. We're so happy.
I have a whole library now.
I know we are reaching time, but I do have one other question. I'm trying to ask this in a non-spiteful way because of the work day that I had, but nothing to do with Sol de, but it brings me to this question. I feel a lot of brands are so focused on what they're not that they lose sight of who they actually are. But Sol de has such a really concise vision and consistent execution of the brand. Is there something that Sol de wouldn't, in terms of like notes or scent profiles, that Sol de Janeiro would not do? And how do you know? Like, where's that line?
It's a really interesting question.
I don't think that there's a line.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay.
Maggie and I will challenge ourselves to make anything delicious.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. That's usually our conversation. It's like, how could we take something that you wouldn't expect to have maybe a little bit of gourmand or be mm-hmm. a little bit mouthwatering, and how can we make it soul? Like, that's the ultimate challenge.
Oh, that's cool.
You always get it. I mean, we get there at bench day. We always get there. So yeah,
that's exciting. Interesting how like
nothing you'd ever stay away from, you know, explicitly.
Oh, cool. Nice. I love that.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that nothing's off the table, but it all comes back to Sol de Janeiro.
Yeah. Because of all the gourmands, I feel like eventually you're going to run out of desserts. There's gourmand and now there's fruity, which I feel like when I learned the scent profiles, like fruity and gourmand were separate, but now I feel like they're just melding together a bit. So I'm like,
I feel like everything is becoming everything. I know, kind of. Yeah.
There's endless fruits. We're inventing new fruits. So
we are.
The sky for one.
If you could see my collection of magnums.
Not magnums.
Like in the champagne sense, not the condom sense. God. Grow up.
Well.
It's only, you know what? It's only 8 ounces, but why do these look so huge?
They're huge.
They're massive. I have enough freaking body mist to last me, I don't know how long, until the apocalypse. I'm going to be smelling, that's for sure.
And we love it.
You're going to smell me coming.
If you're going to smell like something, you might as well smell like this.
No? Very true. Very true. It's funny because like I always knew they had like a bunch of different scents, but like seeing them in the totality in front of me, I'm like, okay, wow.
And this isn't even all of them.
No. And now that I know that they're years, I'm like, this is what 1940 smells like?
It was one of those things that's just like hiding in plain sight. And as curious as we are, it was one of those things where I was like, I guess I'll never know.
Yeah. Now I finally know how to pronounce Chiroza. If nothing else, we finally know that going forward.
Yeah. Thank you, Soldier.
Every previous episode where we mentioned it, I'm like, Chiroza, Chiroza. Please.
I thought it was really cool that the bigger you get, the more stakes there are. And it's not, this type of popularity is not a, what am I trying to say? Carte blanche. I'm probably using that incorrectly. To do whatever the fuck you want. And it was cool that there is nothing that they wouldn't try and that they would almost look at it as a challenge.
Yeah.
Which I think is really exciting because who knows what the hell they could do next.
I know. I feel like I'm like, there's got to be a mood board in the office of just like, the scent profiles, like their own Chiroza scent profile. And I'm like, it's fine if you don't want to tell me. If this is trade secrets, I get it. But don't tell me it doesn't exist.
I want to see a Sol de Janeiro take on patchouli. I want to see their take on mint. I want to see their take on a pineapple, a lot of things.
Pineapple
on something, but.
I wonder if they would, I feel like they are maybe not the brand that would do savory, but.
Passion fruit. Ooh.
Passion. I think they do have passion fruit in one of them.
No, I'm just naming all my favorite things.
I know. But yeah, that's interesting. Perhaps this is my lack of imagination, but I'm like, how many gourmands are there? How many things can we make into a smell that we can eat?
Yeah, truly. Exactly.
Truly. I can't wait to see it. Yeah. We hope you liked that episode. And please tell us your favorite Chiroza year / scent in the comments of Instagram. Where you can find us at smileylater.mp3. You can leave us 5 stars and a nice little comment on Spotify. You can find us at our website, smileylater.live, where our merch is, our hotline, and all sorts of general information about us too. What am I missing?
Oh, I think you got it. You always do this right.
I was like, I went around in a loop here. But you can follow me on Instagram at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.